Welcome to the Did You Armor Up, Bro? Ephesians 6 podcast. My name is Denny, and today we're doing episode 9 of the podcast. All glory be to God that we made it this far. He's using us in a mighty way to share the gospel. So let's keep doing what God has called us to do, which is to fulfill the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations. Allow God to use you where you're at. You might not be where you want to be right now in your life, but allow God to use you where you're at, okay? So, today's topic, we are going to talk about you will be hated by all men. So, we have to remember that as followers of Christ Jesus, not everyone's going to like us, okay? Remember that Jesus said the servant is not greater than his master. Alright, so we have to remember that we're not greater than Jesus. He's our master. We're his servant. And we're because they persecuted him, we're also going to be persecuted. So let's hop into prayer. So, Heavenly Father, right now we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. God, we're talking today about this topic that you will be hated by all men. God, we know that because there are so many people, God, that did not accept your Son on this earth. They hated your Son, Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't know you. They didn't know you. And they crucified you, Jesus. God, ask and pray that you would not allow us to leave here the same way that we came to you. God, that you would help us remember that when we were persecuted, for your name's sake, help us remember that the servant is not greater than his master. And we're your servant, Lord God, and you are a master, Lord Jesus. So please help us to remember that when we are persecuted. God, help us to remember that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God, I pray that you would give me the words to say to speak on this podcast today. God, I humble myself before you. God, I ask and pray that you would change our heart. You would guide us and direct us by the Holy Spirit, not our flesh. God, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it talks about how man makes his plans in his heart, but it is the Lord who directs his steps. God, I ask and pray, will you please guide and direct my steps today? God, will you please give me the words to say by your Holy Spirit? God, I ask and pray that I decrease completely. May it be none of me, Lord Jesus and God and Holy Spirit, but may it be all of you. May you give me the words to say. May you give me wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment of your word. May you help me to preach the word of God with truth and boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And ask and pray, God, that you would use us in a mighty way for the upbuilding of your kingdom, each and every one of us listening to the podcast. Ask and pray all these things according to your will. And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we humbly ask and pray, God, not our own will, Father, but may only your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We trust you. We thank you. You're good. We thank you for being our Lord and our God. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit. And help us to be the light of Christ wherever we go. I ask and pray all these things according to your will and in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God bless and pray. Amen. Okay, so let's get into the Word of God. All right. So as I was saying, this topic today is about you will be hated by all men. So what do I mean by that? Okay. Well, we have to remember that not everyone's going to like us. Okay. We can't please everyone, but we should remember that we ought to obey God rather than men. So it talks about this, that we should rather obey God rather than men, because right here in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" So we have to remember that we will be hated by all men for the name of Jesus Christ, right? It's not an option of where, like, oh, okay. Where does it say in God's word that we won't be persecuted? Now, if you look in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 in 10, it says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Verse 13 and 14 says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So we have to remember that people who are not followers of Christ, right, who are being used by the enemy, of course, they're going to be the ones to deliver us up and to be afflicted, right? Because if they had the Holy Spirit in us, they would be also following Jesus Christ, which obviously they're not if they're delivering us up to be afflicted and kill us, and they hate us, right? So, anyways, it says, "They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Jesus is not saying some nations for his name's sake. It says, "Hated of all nations for my name's sake." So that means, now remember, there's other countries. There's Christians being more persecuted than the Christians in the United States, okay? I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. It's like this. A lot of Christians in this country will say, oh, they're being persecuted because they're sharing the gospel online or on social media, and people, you know, they're losing friends, their own families are hating them. Remember, Jesus said, a man's enemies will be, they have his own household, right? But also, remember that, you know, that's just the beginning, okay? There's people in other countries who are Christians who have churches underground, right? The church underground means like the church is in secret. Because if not, they'll be persecuted and killed, or, you know, tortured, or who knows what. So, just remember that, yes, you might be a Christian in the United States, or wherever you're at in this world, in this earth. Christians are going to be persecuted, regardless. And it says, Jesus said, "You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." But remember, endure unto the end, okay? Don't stop, don't give up. Jesus said, "If you deny me before my heavenly Father, he'll also deny us." Right? Do not deny him. Because if we deny him, he's going to deny us. And I'll look up that verse right now, where that is. Okay, so I found it. So, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32-39, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So right there, Jesus is telling us if we confess him before men, he's going to confess us before his heavenly Father. But if we deny Jesus before men, Jesus is going to deny us before his Father, which is in heaven. Okay, Jesus came not to bring peace, but a sword. Okay, as you can tell, like, look how many people say they're a Christian and they're the only one in their family that's a Christian. Okay, Jesus said we're gonna be hated by all men for his name's sake. And remember, Jesus said a man's foes shall be they of his own household. So say if you're, for an example, say if you're the only Christian in your household, okay, and say that they're not your other family, the other people in your family are not Christians, and you're living with them, there's gonna be variance. There's gonna be it's not gonna be you're not you know you guys are running in different directions, right? Remember, it says Romans chapter 8, it says, but if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you have, so if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and your family members who are not believers in Christ Jesus obviously don't have the Holy Spirit, because the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, right? It says this in John chapter 14, I think. Let's look and see. Thank you, Lord. So, in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So it's saying right there, that the Spirit of truth, so the Spirit of truth obviously is the Holy Spirit, right? Whom the world cannot receive. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive him, because it doesn't see him, and it doesn't know him. But you know him, because he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. So right there, this verse is saying, right there, Jesus is saying, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it doesn't see him, it doesn't know him, but you know him because he dwells with you and shall be in you. So right there, if you have family members who are not Christians, right? If you have family members who are not born again by the Spirit of God, how Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3, that you must be born again, right? I'll show you where that is when I flip to it. And John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so if you have family members who are not Christians, who they haven't put their faith in Christ, then they're obviously not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them, because the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which you already know that, and he is the Comforter. And Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 16 of what we just talked about, where it says the world cannot receive him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, right? Because it seeth him not and it knows him not. But we know him because he dwells with us and shall be in us. So, like I was saying, if you have family members who are not born again, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. And we have to remember that in God's Word. It says they're... okay, so it's like this. In God's Word, we know that everyone is made in the image of God, okay? But not everyone is a child of God. We talked about that in one of the podcasts, where it says, are you a child of God, or are you a child of the devil? Okay? Remember, it even says in one of the parables that Jesus gave, that in one of the parables where it says, like, the wheat and tares, where they're children of God, and they're children of the devil. And the children, the wheat is the children of God, and the tares are the children of the devil. So, we remember that. If you're living in a family, I don't know, I just feel like the Holy Spirit put this on my heart to say, if you're living with a family, that you're the only believer in that family, of course there's going to be opposition. Of course there's going to be resistance. Because you're born again by the Spirit of God, and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. If you're a born-again Christian, if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, if you repent of your sins and believe in his finished work on the cross, and you're following Jesus with your whole heart and you're serving him with your whole heart, okay, of course there's going to be resistance. That's why, even though I think about it, it says, like, don't be unequally yoked, right? I feel like we shouldn't be unequally yoked. It means, like, we shouldn't have friends who are... not submitted to Christ, but also we shouldn't be in relationships with people who are not submitted to Christ, okay? Now, your family, you can't choose your family, right? You can choose your friends, you can choose your spouse if they feel the same way about you, but you cannot choose your family, because your family is who your family is. Like, they're your family. I don't even know how else to explain it. You're born into that family, right? So, but we, as born-again Christians, we're born again into the family of God, okay? Because we're heirs of the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're living in a family, there's going to be a lot of opposition if they're not born again Christians. If you're the only one, you know, there's going to be constant, it's division, really. Just like how Jesus said, he came not to bring peace, but he did come to bring a sword. Okay, so that's what you have to remember. That's why it says in God's word that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's what the word of God says. That's not my opinion. That's what Jesus is telling us. But, okay, just always remember, if you're living in a certain household of people who aren't born again, then you make sure you stay on the straight and narrow path and you put Jesus first. And remember, do not be ashamed of your faith, okay? Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about this right here. Let me show you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So you have to remember that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, you have to remember, you don't have to be ashamed of your faith. If you have friends who you hang out with who are like, "Oh, he's a Christian," you know, and I mean, I've been through that before, where I've had people like say this towards other Christians, and this is when I was this is when I was lukewarm before in my life, and I heard someone say about, they're like mocking someone else, and they're like, "Oh, this guy's a Christian." They weren't talking about me, but they were talking about someone else. They're like, "Oh, I'm a Christian," and I just remember I was like thinking in my head like, "Wait, I'm a Christian," but no, I was a lukewarm one, you know, at one point. But remember, like, if your friend's persecuting you, and they're bringing you further away from Jesus, then get new friends, man. Okay, I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to do that before in my life, where I was hanging out with people, and of course, was they were not honoring God, and they weren't Christians, obviously. But I felt like, I don't know, I was like, I don't know, I was like 22 maybe, or 23 maybe, I don't know. And I just remember the Holy Spirit, like, one time I was sitting in church, and the church I used to go to a long time ago, and I just remember that, the Holy Spirit put in my heart that day, was just like, "Okay, you need to, like, let go of these friends," you know, and I was like, "What?" I didn't expect that at all, really, but I remember the pastor just saying one time, he said, you know, there's just some friends that you just don't need, right? Because if you think about it, there's friends who are not being led by the Holy Spirit, who they may be bringing you further away from Christ. What if you hang out with a bunch of friends who, wow, I feel like the Holy Spirit's putting this on my heart. What if you hang out with a bunch of friends who's bringing you further away from Jesus, right? We know that in the Word of God, it says about how bad communications corrupt good behavior. So, like, the people that you hang out with, you're going to become like them. It's just a matter of time. If they're acting like a degenerate, you're going to be next in line at the ticket window, acting like a degenerate. So you just have to think about that. But yeah, so like I said, if you're a Christian, you're going to be hated by all men. But that's okay, because we have to remember in Romans chapter 8, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? Let me find that verse. It says, right here, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What shall we say?" Oh, sorry. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Verse 33 and 34 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So, if people hate us for bearing the name of Jesus Christ, then let it be so. Because, oh, wow, I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me to this now. Matthew chapter, is it 5, maybe? I don't know. I'm trying to think what chapter it is, but where Jesus says, like, blessed are men, or blessed are you when men persecute you. Oh, where is that? I think, yeah, it's a Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so that's Matthew chapter 5. Let's see where it is. Let me see. Here it is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12, 13 and 14, 15 and 16. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 16, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus tells us that, you know, when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we're blessed also when men shall revile us and persecute us and speak a manner of evil against you, against us falsely, for his name's sake, right? But we can rejoice and we can be glad. We can know that our reward in heaven is great because they also persecuted the prophets which were before us. And we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world. So when we're persecuted, we need to remember that. Okay, I'm being persecuted for my faith, right? But good news is that we're blessed. Okay, remember this. Jesus was absolutely perfect and sinless, and people still hated him. Okay, so if you're perfect and you're sinless, what more can you do? How much more can you please someone? You can't. You know, Jesus was perfect and sinless, and everybody still hated him. Not everyone, but a lot of people hated him. Obviously, his disciples didn't hate him. And, like, other followers of Christ, right? And also the people who are following Jesus now. But there's a lot of people in the majority of the world who hated him. And if you think about it, remember I said about the servant is not greater than his master. There's still going to be people that hate Jesus. And there's still going to be people that hate his followers. And remember, it says, if the world hated you, know that they hated me first. Let me look up that verse. Don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit's rolling. I gotta keep up. Let me look. Okay, so here it is. John chapter 15, verse 15 to 26. It says right here, in John chapter 15, verse 15 to 26, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now that is John chapter 15, verse 15 to 26. So right there, it's talking about, Jesus is talking about, you know, the servant is not greater than his master. If the world hates us, know that Jesus said it hated him first, before it hated us. And if we were of the world would love us, but because God, you know, because Jesus has chosen us out of the world, that's why the world hates us. And also talks about what you just said. The servant's not greater than his Lord, right? If they have persecuted Jesus, they'll also persecute us. But if they kept Jesus saying, they'll also keep ours. So remember that they're all these people who are persecuting Christians, people who are persecuting us. Remember that they're doing it to you because they don't know Jesus, right? They're doing it to him, or they're doing it to us, sorry, because they know not him that sent Jesus. So the reason they're doing it is because they don't know the Heavenly Father, right? Remember I said there's people, every person is created in God's image, but not everyone is a child of God. There's children of the wheat and there's children of the tares. There's children of God and there's children of the devil. And remember, like I said, I'll say it again because I said it before, Romans chapter 8, it talks about, but if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So of course, like I said, you're going to face persecution as a Christian. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 3-26, it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, that is John chapter 17, verse 3 to 26. And it reminds us of, like, okay, Jesus right there is praying for his disciples. He's also praying for us, right? And, you know, verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, right? Remember Jesus in his word, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Okay, so that's us, right? We haven't seen the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, but we know he lives because we have faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but we know what we believe in because we believe on Jesus Christ through our word, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? Let's see, in verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, right there, it talks about how believing on Jesus through your word, right? Because remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, for confessing Christ as Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Okay? And right there, we're also, we might not be have been born when Jesus Christ was walking this earth, but we are born right after he's sitting at the right hand of God. That's where he currently is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Do you remember Jesus said, John chapter 14, he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we shall be also. Okay? It says right here in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and he goes to prepare a place for us, okay? So back to John chapter 17, where I said about verse 20, where it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We haven't seen Jesus, like I said. We weren't around when he was walking on this earth. We haven't seen him physically with our eyes, but we know him, right? Jesus said, his sheep will know his voice. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. That's amazing to think about. And we know that God's not a man that he should lie. We know that his word does not return void. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we know that God's word does not return void. Even Jesus talks about in his word, I think it's in the book of Luke, I believe, where Jesus talks about heaven and earth shall... actually, he says two things. He says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And in the book of Luke somewhere, don't know what chapter verse, it talks about... Jesus said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. So just think on that for a second. Like, remember, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But then he also says, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. So, right there, we know God's word is truth. Nothing can come against that. Satan can't come against the word of God because the word of God is truth. The demons cannot come against the word of God. The unclean spirits cannot come against the word of God because the word of God is truth. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And we know that if we're led by the Holy Spirit, we cannot be misled because the Holy Spirit's leading us into truth, and he's the spirit of truth, and he will guide us and direct us into all truth, right? He'll guide us into all truth. And I said that before multiple times. Right here, John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So right there, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide us in all truth, and we're not going to be misled. So now, just remember, we're going to be hated by all men for his name's sake, but Jesus tells us that we're not of this world, and that if the world hates us, know that it hated him before it even hated us. Okay, and we have to remember that he is perfect, absolutely perfect. Jesus has never sinned one time in his life, and he never will. Okay, he's righteous. He's a righteous king. Okay, so people are going to hate him, and they hated him back then when he was on this earth, and now, just like in the book of Acts, even in Revelation, they're actually throughout all the Gospels, really, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus tells us that we're going to be hated by all men for his name's sake, but also in the book of Acts, look how people were persecuting the church. Okay? The people who were born again of the Spirit of God, who are Christians, they're being, they're the church, which is the body of Christ, they're being persecuted. Acts chapter 7, I think I actually just read that today. Where is it? Right here. Where. Oh, maybe it's Acts chapter 8. Oh, no, I didn't read it yet, but I was looking ahead a little bit. I read it before, but I was looking ahead a little bit right here, where it says Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So right there, excuse me, right there it's saying that there was a great persecution against the church at that time. And just like how there was great persecution back then in the book of Acts, right? It's the age of the church, right? Where Jesus already ascended up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit came and has filled the believers of Christ. And gives us power, right, to do the work of God. And we also have to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. And remember, we have to remember that Jesus is with us until the end of the world. So, if you ever want to look more into that, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, 20. Let's go there actually right now. So, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It says right here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now I want to share this real quick. Remember, when we're preaching the Word of God, not everyone is going to want to hear that, because of course their hearts are hardened. But also it says, in the Word of God, that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who do not believe. I have to look and see what verse that is, but I know it's 1 Corinthians, I think. But we have to remember that people's hearts are going to be hardened, right? So let's go to that verse where I'm talking about the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Let's go there, okay? Okay, so right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So right there it's saying that it says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who do not believe. Okay, so we know that the God of this world is now in this right here when we're reading this, it says lowercase g. It doesn't say uppercase g. Because you know how you spell God, it's uppercase g o d. This says lowercase g o d. So that means it's talking about it's referring to the enemy, right? Because of course, it says in God's word that God does not want any man to perish, but he wants all men to come to repentance. Right? God desires that no man perishes, but he does desire that all men comes to repentance. Okay? So we know that God is not going to blind the mind. God is not going to blind the minds of those who do not believe, because he wants all men to come to repentance. Right? But the God of this world is blinding the minds of those who do not believe, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. Right? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so when we share the word of God, when we preach the word of God with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, and we tell people who are unbelievers and tell them about what Jesus Christ has done through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, gospel means good news. When we share what he's done, what God has accomplished by sending his son, and we can be reconciled to God through his only son that he sent, right? And what Jesus has done on the cross, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, through his soon return, we know that we can have an opportunity to have eternal life. That's a blessing right there. You know, if God never did anything else for us, we should always still be grateful, because he's already done enough by sending his son. Okay? So, anyways, now I said about the God of this world blinding the minds of those who do not believe. Unless the, you know, and it says here, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I said that because, remember, I said not everyone wants to hear the gospel, right? The enemy has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. The God of this world has blinded the mind of those who do not believe. But you have to remember this. Not everyone is going to want to hear the gospel. Now, which is sad, if you think about it. But if you think about it like this, Noah said repent. They didn't want to hear it, okay? But yet, judgment still came upon the world, right? God still flooded the earth. People still drowned. But God saved Noah and his family, right? 8 people upon the ark. And God shut the door of the ark. It tells us that in Scripture. But I'll say this. In Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5-39, it says, and I already said this is about when people, remember we used to talk about them not wanting to hear the gospel, right? This is what we should do, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verse 5-39. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. When I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Right there, that talks about being persecuted as a Christian and how we should behave and what we should do in those scenarios. We know that the Holy Spirit's with us. We know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. We have God with us. We have God dwelling with us, but we also have God dwelling in us. And remember, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So we don't have to fear. Remember, and I said this earlier, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Remember I talked about how if God is for us, who can be against us, right? Let's read that verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now we obviously know that if God is for us, we know that no one can be against us, right? God is all-powerful. He has full authority over everything. We know that Jesus said with God, all things are possible, right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus said, with men this shall be impossible, but with God all things are possible. And remember, we have to remember that Jesus said that he'll be with us even until the end of the world, right here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. This is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, right there, Jesus is saying that he's going to be with us even until the end of the world, right? And we said about, like, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay. And then also, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, I believe. Okay. Yep, I just turned to that page. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, I was right. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, in that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So right there, talks about Jesus. He has authority of things in heaven, he has authority of things in earth, and he has authority in things under the earth. Right? And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when we think about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, where it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? We know that nothing can come against us, because we're children of God, and Jesus Christ is the only way to come to the Father, so we're abiding in him, and nothing can come against us. Now, being a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, we're never promised a life of ease, right? All the disciples, look how they lived their life. They ended up dying for their faith. Eventually, there's multiple accounts. If you do research, there's multiple accounts of like the disciples died for their faith. And remember, Jesus said, "He who endures until the end, the same shall be saved." And we should do the same thing, right? We're all baptized into one Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit that the disciples had. God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't change. Right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." So if he's commanding his disciples to endure until the end, the same to he who endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Don't you think we should also endure until the end? So that we could be saved, right? We should endure until the end. Don't quit. Remember, Jesus said about whoever puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Sorry, is not fit for the kingdom of God. So, are you putting your hand to the plow and are you looking back? Are you going to continue to push forward? Don't be like Lot's wife. When Sodom and Gomorrah was, on fire, when God rained down, fire and brimstone from heaven onto Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel told Lot's wife, "Don't look back." What did she do? She looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. And I feel like the same way. Because she looked back, she died, obviously, but Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and then look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So here's the thing is if you make a choice to follow Jesus Christ, you make a choice to put in the work for him, don't turn back. Right? Jesus says don't be lukewarm also, but if you started a good work in you, he'll bring it to the day of completion. Right? Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6 talks about that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So God started the good work in you. Don't just go like halfway or over halfway and then just stop. Like honestly, if that's your plan, don't do that. Because if you put your hand to the plow, then you look back, Jesus says you're not fit for the kingdom of God, right? Don't be like Lot's wife, and don't be a man that puts his hand to the plow and then looks back. Because if you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Because that's what Jesus says. It's not my opinion, but it's what he tells us. So if you're going to live for Jesus and serve him, then do it with your whole heart, right? We should do everything that we do, for God. Okay, let me see here. Now right here in Colossians, that chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of." And verse 24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So, right there, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Whatever you're doing, do it for Jesus, right? Do it unto the Lord. Remember that if you're doing something, do it to your best of your ability and do it for Jesus, right? And also, like, reminds me that Jesus doesn't want us to be lukewarm, okay? Because if we're lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. That's what he says, right here. That it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So Jesus is saying, if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. He wants people who are on fire for him. He wants people who preach the word of God with boldness. He wants people who are being hearers of the word, but also doers of the word, right? He wants us to live for him. He wants us to go all out for him. Why would we, listen to this. I feel like the Holy Spirit's putting this on my heart. Why would we want to just be complacent and content with where we are in life, go harder for Jesus, right? Like, I'm doing this podcast, and I'm trying to also allow God to use me in person as well, but and I do that, but also, like, this, I feel like I'm not content with where I'm at. Yes, I'm doing this podcast. Yes, I'm going out into the world, wherever God puts me in that place, and I'm trying to share Jesus Christ with the world, but also, I'm not content with where I'm at, honestly. Like, I'm content with, like, you know, my living situation and stuff like that. But I mean, like, I'm not content with where I am in my walk with Christ. I want to go harder for him. I want to do more for him. I want to go be a full-time missionary. I want him to use me for the upbuilding of his kingdom. I want him to use me to bring glory and honor to his name. I want to be a servant for him. My heart has this passion and desire burning within me to do what he wants me to do and to go fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go make disciples of all nations. It says right here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That should be our life purpose. Okay? That should be what our heart's desire is. Right in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that should be the deepest desire of our heart. Right? If God doesn't want any man to perish, then shouldn't we also want no man to perish, but all come to repentance, all come to Jesus? Because that's what's important in life. Because you get one life on this earth. So don't be lukewarm. Choose to be on fire for Jesus. You get one life on this earth. Spend it wisely. We have to remember to redeem the time because the days are evil. Okay? You remember, you're not going to live forever on this earth. You have a limited time. Okay? Live it for Jesus. Also, remember this. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it says right here, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." So we know, and God's word says about the people who are part of the first resurrection, right? They're blessed and holy. It's what it says in verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And we know that if you're in the first resurrection, you know, you're obviously born again by the Spirit of God and stuff, but, right, this is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." And verse 15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So right there, it's telling us that the second death is the lake of fire, right? Those are the people who obviously haven't accepted Jesus, who haven't been born again, who haven't repented of their sins, you know, all these things. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it talks about, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So right there, that's the lake of fire is reserved for the devil and his angels, but also the people that haven't put their faith in Christ, the people who have not repented of their sins, the people who have not been born again. Right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's important. So just remember that if you're persecuted for being a Christian, it's a blessing, honestly. Let people persecute you. Because what matters, it doesn't matter what men thinks. We're here to please God. We're not here to please men. And remember, it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So if you're pleasing men, you're not the servant of Christ. Right? We shouldn't, our desire in our heart should not be, and our goal in our heart should not be to please men, but it should be to please God, because It matters what he thinks. It matters what he says about us. Not what men shall say about us. Right? They already hate us for following Jesus. Okay. That's a blessing to us. So let's go in all the way. Okay? They already hate us. So it's like this. If you're a little bit, if you, you know, like this. It's like this. If you're a Christian, and if you're only on fire for Jesus for a little bit, people are going to still hate you. If, you know, if you're lukewarm, people are still going to hate you. But if you're on fire for Jesus, people are still going to hate you. So just go in all the way. You're already hated, so go in all the way. Okay? There's no, why would you want to live a lukewarm life? Because Jesus is going to spit you out of his mouth if you do. But, so just go in all the way for Jesus. Because men are going to hate you, whether you're lukewarm for Jesus or on fire for Jesus. So just go on, be on fire for him, and go in all the way. Doesn't matter what they think about you, let them judge you. Whether it's family, friends, coworkers, it doesn't matter what they think. Because we're here to please God, we're not here to please men. Period. So, I ask and pray that everyone that listened to the podcast today, that they may be blessed, and that they remember when they're persecuted by the world for following Jesus, that they remember to stand strong in their faith, and that they remember that the righteous are as bold as a lion, and that if we pleased men, we should not be the servant of Christ. So let's ask and pray that this podcast blesses everyone who listens to it under the sound of my voice. Let's pray, so, and let's head out of here. So Heavenly Father, right now we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son who you have sent. God, we ask and pray that as followers of Christ, we have to remember that when we're persecuted and when we are hated by all men for your name's sake, we have to remember that we're blessed because great is our reward in heaven. I ask and pray that you will help us to remember that whether it's family, friends, coworkers, the rest of the world, whoever hates us, Lord God, I ask and pray that you would help us remember that we have you and you are all that we need. And we're never alone because you will never leave us or forsake us. You are with us into the end of the world. And I ask and pray that you guide us and direct us by the Holy Spirit, not our flesh. God, I ask and pray that you would use us in a mighty way for the upbuilding of your kingdom and that you would change our heart. You would remind us who we are in Christ and that you would remind us that we're here to serve the living God. We're not here to serve men. We're not here to deny your name, God, but we're here to proclaim your name to the uttermost part of the earth and be your witnesses and to live for you. God, I ask and pray that when we're persecuted, please help us to remember this in our heart, whether we have a Bible in front of us or not. During that time, if we're persecuted, God, no matter where we are in the world, on this earth, God, please help us remember that when we're persecuted, we are blessed because greater is our reward in heaven. I ask and pray that everything that we pray about today, may your will be done, Lord God. May glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Use us in a mighty way for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Please don't allow us to leave here the same way we came to you. And use us in a mighty way. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're here to serve you. I ask and pray that everything we pray about may glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not our own will, Father, but may only your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. We ask and pray, amen. All right, so hope everybody was blessed by listening to this podcast today. I love all you guys and appreciate each and every one of you.